So I have my sneakers on. Hallelujah. So we can participate. A quick testimony. I've been working with some of these teens. They're coming from families, some of our teens in the neighborhood, and they may not be in an affluent family. How's that for saying? They got some tough times. So we've had kids working off their monies to go to camp. So I have had a great time making them work off their monies to go to camp. Because I found out many, many, many times, if I give you something all the time for free, you don't value it. Anybody ever find that out? Oh, good. Even the young folks. So we've had kids working off, and one of my bunch, I actually jumped in to help him on the ivy bed, and I told him, now that there is poison. You have to yank it out, but just don't go rubbing it all over you. So I should have followed the directions. God. Man, I had some poison in some weird places. Because, you know, you go like this. Next thing, then you go like this. I was like, ah! So they have worked hard. Some of them have worked hard. Parents have worked hard to get kids to camp. And we deeply appreciate it because camp... Also, did you know they have to cough up their cell phones? Zip, zero, nothing. There is no... You can cake it. You can drive in the car up there. But as soon as you get there, they confiscate all cell phones. I think it's delightful. Who would like to live for a whole week without cell phone? If you're a smart person, you'd raise your hand because it's just like all these dumb things and cares. You know, oh my gosh. So, anyway, we're going to see. We are seeing change in our youth and our children's, in our preschool and our youth ministry. But something like this, we get to see these kids take five leaping steps higher. And the roots go deeper and they go higher and stronger. And guess what starts next week? School. So it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Praise the Lord. And by the way, you all helped. Kids have to earn X amount of dollars, and then YCF comes alongside and gives a certain amount. If you want to know the numbers, I'll tell you later, okay? All you people that need to know numbers. But we believe in it, so we'll give some money into getting kids there. And they get to work. Hallelujah. Work. Hallelujah. Father God, let's pray. Father God, we come and we just praise you. We give you honor and glory and thanksgiving for your love towards us, for the plans you have for us, for the word that you have given us, the word you have, the word you continue, that would bring light, would just give direction, would just thrust her forward into the places we need to go. And we thank you that we have ears to hear what you have to say, so our lives can keep going in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I started a new series last week called The Race for Grace. So I decided I wear my new sneakers because I'm in a race, and this is my Fitbit. You should get one or have your kids give you one. That's how I got mine because I was like, what? And you press it. It tells you what time it is. And I got mine from my kid in San Francisco, so I didn't know how to change it. It still says in San Francisco it's 8:01. I haven't figured out how to do that. And the date, it tells me how many steps I've taken, 2,098. And then it tells me, my heart rate and how many miles I've gone, and my favorite is how many calories I've burnt so far, so I can compensate for what I eat, and then steps. Okay, so I'm ready for the race. I've got this on, and that was an advertisement, I think. Gee, why did I do that? Alrighty. So we're really talking about grace, and this is such a huge, huge topic. So I've narrowed it down, and we're calling it the race. Grace for the race. And if you turn over to Hebrews chapter 12, that's kind of our anchor scripture. So we're going to start with this scripture until you just know it inside and out. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Hallelujah. Grace for the race. By the way, you are all put into the race of life by God, all right, You are all put into it. So here's the scripture, and I'm reading out of the New Living. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. Okay, second scripture you can turn to, it's 1 Corinthians 9:24, and this is our second anchor that this whole message is going to come from. 1 Corinthians 9:24, I'm reading today out of the NIV. Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get a prize. So, we are doing the series called Grace for the Race. And I'm going to wear my sneakers every week to just so you get, you are in a race, all right? Plus, these feel so much better than some of my other shoes, especially you see what Sherry was wearing today? Like, are you kidding me? By the way, she lasts about 10 minutes downstairs. Amen. Let me do a little review before I launch again. A little review. If you were not able to be with us last week, we titled last week called Scandalous Grace. Scandalous grace. And why scandalous grace? Because Jesus died for you. He pardoned you of all your sins you have ever committed and will commit. And he brought you into his family. And I tell you, that's scandalous. That's grace. Scandalous grace. And it's scandalous because when you think about what Jesus did for you and I, it's too good to be true. Somebody would do something for you you did not deserve. That's scandalous. It's scandalous because you don't deserve it, you know? All right, so scandalous grace. And last week when we started talking, I said you had to understand Bible times if you were going to read Matthew chapter 1. Because in Matthew chapter 1, it's the lineage or the family tree of Jesus. All right? About a year or two ago, I was out in California for the first time in like 35 years hanging out with some relatives, and they actually mapped out the family tree for quite a few generations. And I was just kind of cracking up as I heard about some of them, all right? But Jesus has a family tree, and you can read one of them, the accounts in Matthew chapter 1. And the interesting thing about the family tree that Jesus has written, we have written about Jesus in Matthew chapter 1, is usually, or rather all the time in the Bible times, when people were writing their family tree or talking about that family tree of yours, all right, they never, never, never mentioned women. All right, they just didn't think too highly of them. But in Jesus's lineage, he goes and puts four women in there. Or excuse me, the writer, God has them put four. Jesus didn't dump them in there, right? Okay, so there's four women in the lineage, the family tree, the genealogy of Jesus. And one of them poses as a prostitute. The other one is a prostitute. One is an outcast, like you don't hang with them, you don't talk with them, you don't let them into your church. And the last one they mention, they simply say, now those first three, they mention their names, these ladies' names, but the last one, they just simply say, the wife of Uriah, which we found out is Bathsheba. Okay, so why would God put those four women in the lineage of Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Son of God? Well, I believe he put them in there for us. He put them in there for us because if God would redeem, would change these women's life and put them in there, I can go, wow, he will do that for me. He will do that for you. He will redeem your life. He will bring it around and to something better. So I believe that's why the Matthew begats, and those four women are there, all right? So how many of you read it last week, went home and read the begats? Hey, good. It's like, good, 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 good. All right, the second thing we talked about last week is that we all have a race we've been placed into by God to run in life, all right? I hope you all come with sneakers next week, okay? Come with sneakers next week because we got about 3 more weeks like this, all right? And my race, D. Cashman, my race is that I complete the race. I'm supposed to complete it. I'm supposed to finish the race. But what we found out last week is I am not in a competition with you. I am not to compare myself with you. And you know what? When I finally got that, and occasionally I get a little tilted and I get back there, enormous peace in my life. Oh my goodness. I don't have to compare myself with you. All right? I don't have to compare myself with you. So we said that we are in a race. God's called us in a race and we have to stay in our lane and we're not supposed to compare ourselves with people because the day, you know, you start looking at the family next door and oh my gosh, they just pulled up with another new car. What's the matter with our family? You know that comparison thing? Oh, comparing kids. Oh my gosh, okay. Comparing, okay? So God doesn't want us to compare ourselves with other people. He just wants us to be in the race, stay in the race, complete the race, and run the race for Him. Everybody say, run the race for Him. You don't have to run the race for me. Now, I will give you things to do because I love telling people what to do, all right? But yeah, I do. Yeah, you know, and I tell everybody, but I do it with a smile. All right. But really, you run the race for Him. He's the one that called you to the race. He's the one that you run the race for. Okay. Everybody say, I run the race for Him. All right. So rather than going over the rest of the message, if you were not able to be with us, you can go online, ycf.com, and you can listen to the message, or you can fill, there's an envelopes in front of you. Open it up. And there's at the very bottom, you can get a free CD. Fill it out, just your name, toss it in the back on those glass, whatever those things are. What do we call those things? Vases, jars. All right. All righty. But today, let's get started on today. By the way, does anybody need a Bible? We have Bibles you can use. All right. All right. So, because I'm going to give you about 6 scriptures today. Here we go. I want to talk about a place. I want to talk about a place. All right, a place that you need to get to before you start the race. All right, so I want to talk about a place you need to get to before you start the race. Because otherwise you're going to run this race in your own strength. How many have run around on your own strength, all right? And I just am not a really pleasant person when I am doing that. That's the matter with you, you know? Okay, all right. Now, so God has a place that He wants us to go to before, also during, while we're running this race. So let me give you an illustration. All right. How many of you have a car? You don't have a car? Okay, God bless you. All right. How many of you know that you need to put gas in your car? So, because it's designed to get you places, right? But you have to put gas in the car. All right? You have to go someplace, rudder, sheets, whatever, to fill up your car so it can do the things it's designed to do. So, one day back in high school, we had hand-me-down cars. And they were great because most of them were free for our kids. I love it. So, Joy had the... I think that was about the second time hand me down to Joy, and she's a junior in high school, and Jack and I are home, and it's probably right after school gets out, and we get this phone call, Daddy, my car is broke. So Daddy to the rescue, he hops in the car in that big old Suburban of his, and he gets down there. She's got the hood up, and like, she's 16. Like, she knows what she's looking at. She's not a Cashman girl. They would probably know what they're doing over there. All right? But my girls, no. So she's, and he's looking, and he tries turning it over, and he goes, honey, you have to go to Rudder's first and fill it up so it can do what it's supposed to do. Like, Well, we don't let her forget that one. So, you have to fill your car up in order for it to do what it's designed to do, right? Okay, so God has a place. Everybody say a place. Where you need to fill up so you can do the race you've been called to. All right? So you have to go somewhere. You have to get somewhere so you can fill up so you can do this race. Anybody lost? You know where I am? I was like, this is so easy. You're looking at me. Okay. All right. Now, like Joy, if you don't go to this place, if you don't go to this place to fill up, you are, how about, you might not have such a successful race. All right. You might be the big pain in the grouchy butt person. Okay. Because you didn't go to a place to get something so you can run this race that God has for you in life. All righty. So everybody say, now, anybody know where this place is? Okay, turn to Hebrews 4:16. You are like, it is this close. Okay, Hebrews 4:16. I'm like ready to read it and I'm hearing Paige. Okay, take a breath. Okay, Hebrews 4:16. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace. It is a secret place. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace. All right, everybody say throne of grace. Title of the message today is called Throne of Grace. All right. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Now, I have a question. How many of you have ever heard of the throne of grace? Everybody heard about it? Okay. Every Christian can get to that throne of grace. Did you know that? If you're a believer, if you've asked Jesus Christ to be Lord of your life, you can get to that throne of grace. Now, if someone drug you here to church and you don't know the Lord Jesus, you can get to that throne of grace through Jesus by believing that he's the Son of God. All right? So if you don't know Jesus, it's the same throne of grace that you're going to need, that you have to walk through, all right? So, question. Are there two thrones of grace? One for Christians, one for people that don't know Jesus. Are there two thrones of grace? No! Good, paying attention here. Okay, so let's read this again. By the way, they're the same throne of grace for people who are Christians, who are believers, followers of Christ, and for those that have not yet. All right. So Hebrews 4:16. Come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. Okay. So when we think about thrones, I mean, most people think about the bathroom throne, right? Well, that was my first throne, right? Okay, but Bible times, let's get your head back in here. Bible times, they knew a lot about thrones. Okay, when the Bible was written, all of that, they knew about thrones, okay? And people sat on the throne, or in the throne room, and sat on the throne, and these people were worshipped. They were in awe of these people that sat there, right? Okay, everybody know a little bit about that? But also back in the Bible, there was a place called the Holy of Holies where the Ark of the Covenant was, right? And only certain people were allowed to go into that place, all right? Only certain people were allowed to go into that place. And you know what? Probably none of you are going to be allowed to go in there. How do you feel when someone says you can't go in there? Not good things rise up in me. I'm working on those. Okay. All right. So there are people who get to go into that place, and then they have entrance, right? And there's some of us that are not allowed into that place. All righty. Now, but Jesus. Everybody say, but Jesus. But Jesus came. right? Hallelujah. Sorry, during worship, I just lost it. Think about what Jesus did. I was like, I'm done. I'm going home. I can't even stand. All right. But Jesus came. But Jesus came so that he would give everybody equal opportunity and equal access into that place. Jesus came. Everybody say, Jesus came. And he made it so everyone can get into this place. Access. Everybody say access. All right. Now, so it's not a place, you know, in other words, it's not a place where only pastors get to go. It's not a place where if you've worshiped for 35 minutes, you get to go. It's not a place if you've prayed and fasted and starved for a week, you get to go. That's not what Jesus did. Okay. Jesus made a way that we would have access into that place. All right. Turn over to Ephesians, please. Remind me to sit, Pastor D, with a smile. There we go. All right, please. Ephesians 2:17. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I'd like everyone to have equal opportunity and equal access to get to the place. And the place is the throne of God. Wow. All right. So, here we go. Is everybody over at Ephesians chapter 2? Say, amen. Amen. All right. I'm going to read this out of the Amplified, and they're going to throw it up there because I'm going to point out some words here. And he came and preached the glad tidings. Hallelujah, freedom. The glad tidings of peace to you who were far off. Underline far off. You who were far off. Okay, when that's written there, it's talking about the Gentiles. They were far from God. They were far off, right? They were far off. Hallelujah. Because they didn't have a covenant promise with God. All right. So he came and preached the glad tidings of peace to you who were far off, the Gentiles with no hope, right? And peace to those who were near. So who are the people that were near that he's talking about? The Jews. Yes. Okay. Because they did have the covenant. All right. And verse 18, it is through him, Jesus, that we both, who are the both? The Gentiles and the Jews. All right. It is through him that we both, those that were far off and near, now have introduction, access by one Spirit, Holy Spirit, to the Father so that we are able to approach him. Whoa! Guys, that should be your refrigerator sticker for the whole week. Come on, stick it on the mirror too, all right? In other words, now Jesus has become the door, okay, whereby we all have access to that place. Everybody has access to that place. Oh my gosh. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody say equal access. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Okay. Now, let me give you an example here. So God's looking at this husband. I'm going to pick on Brenton. I always say if you're sitting on the, I'll go for Frank or Brenton because they sit up here. Okay. So God's looking at Brenton and he goes, oh my gosh, Susan, you got to keep your eyes on me because you're going to go. Okay. Brenton's so busy, working all the time. He's just can't get around to reading his Bible, right? Don't look at me, Susan. Okay. All right. And you know, Brenton, you just don't have any time to pray, right? So God says, sorry, no access. But then he looks at Susan. Oh, gosh, that's Susan. She reads her Bible all the time and prays. You can come in. All right? You can come in. All right. Now you guys can look at each other, hit each other, right? All right. Listen, God gave equal access to everyone. Everyone. Everybody say, I'm an everyone. All right. Everyone. And people who you think are so high up here like Billy Graham or people who you see laying on the streets at the rescue mission that are so low, God says, I've given equal access to everyone. To get into that place, the throne room of God. Oh my gosh. Okay. All right. Equal access. All right. And it's because of Jesus. That's why I cried when we were singing that song. I was like, because of Jesus. Because of Jesus, me, I have access into that place. Oh my God. Jesus. All right. Read that scripture a couple of times. Woo! Okay. So here's my question. Why do some people have a hard time getting into that place, the throne room of God? Oh, yeah. Okay. Why do people, oh my gosh, I got tears. I can't even read through my glasses here. Sniff here. All right. Why do people have a hard time getting into that throne room of grace? Why do people think, nice message, Pastor D. I like about that thing, the throne, but I can't. You really don't know what I've been like. Right? Nice message, Pastor. That's a really good message. That's really cool, but I can't. All right? So, everybody knows Romans 8:1. Romans 8:1. We know that, but I'm telling you, we don't believe it. Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Period. Just put it, don't open your mouth to the next part, because I did a little research there. All right? Keep your mouth shut. There is now no. Also, I looked up the Hebrew and the Greek for no, none. It means no, not a zip, none. All right? You can't muff that up. Okay, so let's do it again. Therefore, there is now condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Okay? Now, it didn't say there's no condemnation for those who are perfect. Did it? It didn't say there's no condemnation for people who never sin. Did it? No. Okay. It just simply says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Period. All right. Now, if you are a believer, if at one time, or I'll give you a time later today, that you have asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life, you are now in Christ. Wow. I'm now in Christ. All right. So, therefore, there is now no condemnation because I'm in Christ. How many of you are in Christ? How many of you have no condemnation? Woo! Up, somebody's hand didn't go up. All right. I believe there's two reasons why people walk in condemnation. One, self-afflicted. We do it. We make ourselves feel condemned. And then the other one, obviously, is the devil. He puts stupid thoughts in your head, and you just believe it and walk with it, and you feel condemned. All right? So, now, let me ask a question. How many of you think you've done something wrong one too many times? Dang it again, I got sucked into gossip. Oh my gosh. How many of you think you've done something wrong one too many times? Oh gosh. Good. Everybody's hand, right? Okay. So, if you think you've done something one too many times, then how do you think you approach the throne of grace? If you think you've done something wrong, gosh, one too many times, how do you think you would approach the throne? All right, now, yep. Let me give you an illustration here. For kindergarten, first, second, and third grade, I went to St. Joseph's Catholic Church in Bogota, New Jersey. All right, and the nuns were my teachers, and that back in the day, they wore the black habits. Do you know anybody not know what that is? It's looking scary. That's when you're like, can you imagine you're in kindergarten, you're looking at that? All right. And Sister Miriam Thomas, that's her name, you know, marked for life, you can remember that. And if you got in trouble in class, by the way, 54 kids in a classroom, lined up bumper to bumper, desk to desk. And you learned reading, writing, and arithmetic. Amazing. Not 22 kids in a class with little stations, you know. Amazing. I think we need some nuns here. Okay, so sidetrack. Okay, so if you got in trouble in class with the nuns, they asked you to go to the principal's office. All right? Okay, they had a metal one. Mother Superior was the principal, and she would give you this long lecture. You are in trouble again. You don't pay attention. You're staring out of the window. You're causing trouble. And she said, so, put your hand on the desk. Whack, whack, whack. Now, the first time, you didn't know what was going to happen. So you're like, and because they have those big, long sleeves, and, you know, they hide them, and all of a sudden, whack, whack, whack. All right. Yep, yep. All right. Now, when that's in elementary school. Now, I know the next part of the story because of Chrissy Schwank, who lived catty corner backyards here. Man, you just had to like Chrissy Schwank. This is a guy, by the way. But, man, he was in trouble all the time. And he said, D, because we got a rant one time, we were sitting around. He said, though, when you get into high school, they go bigger. And they don't say, put your hand here. They say, grab your ankle. Grab your ankle, and they go whap, whap, whap. So you got smack, 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 and whap, whap, whap. Okay. And I'm not sure it did Chrissy Schwank anything, because I think he was there every week, you know, every day, every week. All right, I don't know. But I said all of that to say your perception of what's going to happen in that throne, okay? Your perception of what's going to happen when you get into that throne, is it going to be smack, 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 whack, whack, whack by God? Because if it is, because you've done some things again, my gosh, okay? I've done some things wrong, you're not going to go there. Now, you notice it's not called the throne of condemnation. It's not called that. It's called the throne of grace. And it's not called the throne of smack, smack, discipline. It's called the throne of grace. Oh, man. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. It's called the throne of grace. So when God says he wants you to come to the throne of grace, because you're running this race and you're going to find help, right? You're going to find help in your life. So that's why you have the throne of grace. Now, why do you go to the throne of grace? Because you need help. Not whack, whack, smack, smack. All right? I go to the throne of grace because I need help. Okay? Does everybody need help? Anybody need help? Some of you needed help just to get here today. I'm telling you, Sunday, oh my gosh, 4 kids. Jack would go early, and I'm trying to get 4 kids, find clothes, shoes. I'm nursing a baby. I got a baby on a backpack. It was just, All right, I needed a lot of help. All right? So, now, I'm running this race. Everybody in the race? Raise your hand if you're in the race. You are in the race. We read that. You're running this race, and sometimes we have trouble. Okay? We have trouble. Sometimes I do stupid things, and I make the trouble. Anybody make the trouble? Yeah. Okay. Sometimes my kids do stupid things and make trouble for me. Anybody have that happen? Okay? And sometimes it's just mess ups in life. It just messes, trouble comes and it just messes up your life. All righty. Now, what am I going to be doing if I'm running the race and I bump into some trouble? Am I just going to, and I'm running the race. I'm running the race. I'm going to finish the race. I'm going to finish the race. And I'm running this race and I bump into trouble. What am I just going to get derailed? That's it. That's it. Oh my gosh. Life's a mess. My kid did this again. Do you know what happened to my kid? Do you know what my kid did? Oh my gosh. Do you know what I did? And we stop the race. We quit the race that God called you to, that God has you in so you can do things for him. All right? So when trouble comes, do we just quit? No, thank you, thank you, thank you. All right. Or do I I'm running the race, or do I daily go to this throne? Oh God. Oh God, I need some help today. All right. Daily do I go there. All right. That's what you should do. All righty. So why do I go to the throne of grace? Because I need help. I was going to sing that song. You know the old Beatles song? Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help! I love that. When all right. So I need somebody, not just anybody. I need the throne of grace. Whoa. Where's Lane? That should have been the background song. Lane and I cook up some of these things. All right. Hallelujah. Okay. Now. But if I think my perception of this throne of grace is where I get smack, smack, paddled, paddled, beat up, if that's my perception because I've done things wrong, am I going to go there? No, probably not. Matter of fact, I might try it once and then I get smack, smack, beat, beat, and I'm going to just stop. I'm just going to stop going there, all right, if that's my perception. But what happens because of Jesus, because of what Jesus did? Listen, you can go to that throne room of grace because of what Jesus did. He took the smack smacks that you should have got on him. He paid the price that you should have got. So I don't have, and listen, God is never going to give you what you deserved. Even though I did something wrong. Even though I did the big thing wrong, Jesus took the smack, smack. That hurts after a while. The whack, whack. You know, the whack, whack for you. Man, just close your eyes for a second. We'll wipe out again. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So now I can come to that throne of grace. Whoosh. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Guys, when you really understand this throne of grace, you will run there to start before you even get your feet on the floor. And then halfway through the day, you're going to run there because there's a throne of grace where you can get help. Okay. Man, everybody say throne of grace. Throne of grace. Great place. All right. Now, some of you think I can't go there because I have done, you know, really bad. No, Jesus took all your sins, all your mess ups. I was going to say, screw, that's not a lady word. Okay. For you. All right. So you can go there. And listen, Paul, it's in, oh gosh, is it Romans? Okay. Anyway, all through Pauline's writings, the Pauline epistles, he says, you are, if you've asked Jesus Christ into your life, you've asked to be a child of God. You are now born again. You are now born into this family of God. You've been adopted. You've made sons where we cry, Abba. That means daddy, 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 all right? He's not going to throw you out. He's daddy. The throne of grace. Oh my gosh, throne of grace, throne of grace, throne of grace. Okay, so Let me. I'm gonna try to get you on this one. Push you over the edge. So, this big bad terrible sinner comes into our service, and they're like, "Oh my gosh, we've heard all about Randy. He's got a reputation. He's the worst person, the worst of the worst sinners. Come on, Randy, come on up here. And Randy, come on, come on, come on, come on. And Randy walks up at the end of the service and he kneels down here. And I go, what do you want? I want to ask Jesus into my heart. You know, and you can't, are you okay, Ben, down here? Okay, good. We have some new things going here. So I come up and I go, Randy, what do you want? I want to get born again. I want Jesus.
I want to get born again.
I want Jesus. Okay, I want Jesus. So I pray for him. And Randy, the worst of the worst person in the whole town, y'all was like, oh my gosh, it's him, comes in here and he gets Jesus into his heart. He receives Jesus. Okay, thank you, Randy. All right, and we when he walks down, everybody's like, whoa, my gosh, woohoo, the worst of the worst, hallelujah, he got born again. All right, Frank, come here. You know I love picking on you. Okay, but Frank But Frank, everybody say, but Frank. Okay. But Frank's been saved for a real long time. I mean, he's a churchgoer since the doors open, right? And Frank does some wrong things. Frank does some big bad things. All right? And you know what most people do? Oh, man, that was bad. You're done. Terminated. Done. Okay, you can go sit down. All right. All right. And usually we say, no hope. Oh, my gosh. But wait a minute. Frank's the Christian. He's asked Jesus in his life. He's walked with Jesus, but he's blown it. Kathy, oh, my God. Okay, he's blown it. All right. Now, here's my question. Last week we talked about scandalous grace, outrageous grace. And you didn't have any problem with scandalous grace, outrageous grace for Randy Graham. Right? An outsider got slathered with this. You didn't have a problem with that. Okay. But the insider. Right? The insider. We have a problem sometimes, don't we? Yeah, I did. I'm working on it, all right? Anybody else? Okay. So the Christian we sometimes have a problem with. All right. Is the throne of grace, the scandalous grace, any different for him and him? No. Okay. Is it any less? No. All right. So you mean if I'm not in the family of God and then I'm an outsider, this throne of grace I can get, right? So you mean that? And then you mean if I totally blow it and I am a part of the family of God and I mess up and I sin, do you mean that grace is just as much for me? Yep. Okay. Same grace extended for an outsider. Same grace, extend it for an insider. The throne of grace. Man, so wonderful, wonderful. So, question, why do people stay away from the throne of grace? They feel condemned. They feel like an outsider. They feel like an insider. I've already blown it. They feel like I've just done the big, bad, and dirty, okay? All right, and even if I do go, I get beat up. I get smacked and whacked. All right? So why don't people go to the throne of grace? How about God? I know this is my 999th time. I can't believe I did it again. God, I need your help. And God's looking. That wasn't the 999th time. That's 1,010. You have done that and done that and done that. And nope, I ran out because after 900, that was it. We don't give no more. Is that true? So, now, let me ask, how many of you know you're not supposed to sin? Okay, how many of you do? Good, there's no liars, because that would have been a sin, all right. Okay, so, when I do sin, I need to go to the Father in the name of Jesus and say, God, I did it 999 times again, I can't believe I did that. I need your help, right? That's what you do. That's what you do. And I need your help, God, I need to overcome this, because I can't believe back again, right? That's the throne of grace. Everybody say throne of grace. Throne of grace. So good. So good. Okay. Now, do we have Hebrews 4 up there? No, we don't. Hebrews 4:16. We're going to leave that up there, okay? Thank you. Guys, I'm going to read this again. We're going to read this a couple of times. And let us therefore come boldly to the place, the throne of grace, the place, the throne of grace, okay? Let us come boldly to the throne of grace so we can obtain mercy, find grace in time of help, in time of need, all right? So for the next, oh my gosh, I'm going to do this in 5 minutes. Don't you look at that clock. So for the next 5 minutes, I'm going to go over four things on why God wants you to go to the throne of grace. Four things why God wants you to go to the throne of grace. Just four, all right? Number one, if you're taking notes, we should come to the throne of grace, all right? We should come to the throne of grace. So, kids would ask this question right away. Okay, Pastor D, where is it? I love when I teach kids. Where is it? Is it 346 Pearly Gates Avenue? You know, the Pearly Gates Avenue in Teaneck, New Jersey? No. The throne of grace is not a physical place. It's a spiritual place. All right? This is how I explain it to kids. All right? It's a place where God meets with you. It's the throne of grace. It's a place where God meets with you. And so I'm a Christian. I've asked Jesus Christ to be Lord of my life, and I'm doing my best to just to grow and to be transformed and all that stuff. And then I might start having troubles. I have troubles with my body. I have my troubles with my marriage. I have trouble with my kids. I have trouble with my boss. I have troubles with a police officer. I just have troubles, okay? So I start having troubles in my walk, in my race. I start having troubles, okay? So I should say, Father God, I'm having troubles. I need some help. Isn't that a good prayer? That's a good prayer. Okay, now, that's all you have to do at the throne of grace. That's the place where you cry out to God. You call out to God. You have a meeting with God. All right? That's it. It's not some, I have to walk on my knees. I have to worship for 40 minutes. I have to sing, okay, for 30 minutes, okay? It's not a formula to get to the throne of grace. It's not a formula. You have to do this, this, and this to get to the throne of grace. Good thing, because you wouldn't let me in if I sang like that. Right? Okay? You don't need a formula to have that meeting with God, throne of grace. Oh my gosh, that's so good. All right, so that's number one. You simply just say, God, I need help. All right? Now, where can I do this throne of grace stuff? As Dr. Seuss would say, in a car, in a box, with a fox, anywhere, right? Anywhere. Everybody say anywhere. You're driving to work, anywhere. You're doing whatever, anywhere, anywhere. You can have that meeting with God and you, the throne of grace. Anywhere. Okay. Now, how about this? I left, work started at 9 o'clock a.m., I got there and, oh dear Jesus, that boss of mine, and it's only 10:30. God, I'm going to have a meeting. I'm going to have going to the throne of grace. God, I need help with that boss of mine. All right? You can do it, right? It's real easy. Okay? How about this one? I'm in the throne of grace. God, my wife. I need help with my wife. She just doesn't get me. God, I need some help. That's throne of grace. That's a meeting, right? I'm talking to the Father. And then the Father says, well, you know what, Sonny? I'm going to work on you first. And we wonder why people don't go to the throne of grace. Because God a lot of times will say, I want to work with you first. All right? I remember the time I did that. I was griping and complaining about Jack. And God in the throne of grace. And he said, I don't want to talk about him. I want to talk about you. And you need to work on this, this, and this. So watch out what you ask in the throne of grace. It'll be good though, right? Everybody say it'll be good. All right, number two, if you're taking notes. How should I come to the throne of grace? Well, it says, come boldly, right? How should I come into the throne of grace? It says boldly. Right? Does everybody say boldly? All right? Boldly. All right. Now, back in the Old Testament, back when the law was around, nobody was bold about it. Nobody. Matter of fact, so you had the Holy of Holies and you have all that stuff in there. You guys wouldn't even get around here. You weren't bold. All right? And then we had the high priests. We had those high priests, the high priest, and he got to go in there. Now, the high priest wore bathrobes, right? That's what children's ministry. I just collected bathrobes, right? They wore bathrobes and special garments, really. And they had bells sewn onto the bottom of them. So when they'd walk, you'd hear what? Jingle, 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 jingle. All right? Okay, when that high priest was allowed to go into the Holy of Holies, he had his jingle, jingle, jingle on, and they tied a rope around his leg. And why did they tie a rope around his leg? Because when he went into the holies of holies, he's jingle, 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 jingle. And if he didn't do something right, because it was the law, you had to do this one first, this one second, you had to do this. If you did something wrong, thud! No jingle, jingle, right? And they yank you out. Those high priests, they went into the holy of holies, not with boldness, with fear and trembling. And they'd say, batter up next. Who's coming in next? You want to be next? No, they went in with fear and trembling. All right. But this says, wait, come boldly to the throne of grace. It means come confidently, come outspoken. Okay. Speak up. I can't hear you. God, I have muffed up bad and I need your help. Father God, I need your help. Okay. I'm confidently, boldly coming into the throne of grace. I'm pretty outspoken because I need some help. All right. So how do you come into the throne room of grace? Boldly. Okay. Number three, if you're taking grace, why should I come into the throne of grace? Well, Hebrews talks a lot about this. At the throne of grace is Jesus the high priest. He ever lives to make intercession for you. I come to the throne of grace because Jesus, my Savior, my high priest, is where I can find all forgiveness. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And anything else I need. So why do I come to the throne of grace? Because of Jesus. Shh. All right. Last one. You've taken notes. What should we come for at the throne of grace? Let's say this. What are we going to get? Let's do this one. What are you going to get at the throne of grace? Okay. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy. Okay. What's mercy? Write this down. You didn't get what you deserved. Mercy is you didn't get what you deserved. Man. I remember teaching Jesse, he was a little tyke, and he did something bad. And he said, don't tell Daddy. I said, I'm going to tell Daddy. I said, but you need to learn the mercy prayer. And I taught a little boy, mercy. You're going to cry out for God's mercy that you don't get what you deserved. So I had to greet Jack at the door. I said, listen, let me tell you what happened so you don't go spank them, okay? Okay, so okay. All right. And then Jack walked in and he says, what's up, Jesse? Daddy, I did this. He says, well, Jesse, I'm going to show you mercy. Teach your kids that. Better learn it too, okay? You get mercy, all right? Mercy. You don't get what you deserve. All right. So God says, I want you to come into the throne of grace. I want you to obtain, take hold of, grab hold of mercy. So why would you go to the throne of grace? Because you did something wrong. Jesse did something wrong. Why was he going to the throne of grace? Because he did something bad, all right? So you go there, and God's like, okay, I'll give you mercy. Hallelujah. You know what God says? I'll pardon all your sins. That's what it is. Mercy. Hallelujah, Father, I thank you for the mercy prayer. Amen. Amen. Number two, what are you going to get in the throne of grace? Well, at the throne of grace, come boldly to the throne of grace that you might obtain mercy and find grace. Find grace. Grace is really God. I know, God's ability, God's empowerment, God's ability. I like that one. That's real simple. Grace is God's ability. Okay? Grace is God's ability. Now, there are a whole bunch of things I can do without even turning my brain on. All right. And then there's things in my life that God's called me to do that I can turn on every circuit in this brain and I just can't. It is overwhelming. If I think too much, I can't breathe. All right. So I need God's ability. That's grace. God, I am way deep, way over my head. I'm asking for your grace. And he goes, sure, you're in the throne of grace. What do you think we got oodles and boodles of, okay? Grace. All right, last one. This is where I want to finish up on here. Let us therefore, let's say it together. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy, find grace to help in the time of need. Everybody say, help! All right, help. Anybody ever need help? Everyone need help with the Lord? Oh my God, yes. God, I need your help. All right? God, I need your help. Father God, I need your help. Okay, now, when you look up that word, help, this is what it means. It's one of its meanings. It means a rope. Ah. Now, some of you think, well, that's what he's going to do with me. All right? Or you think, all right? No, no, no. Let us come therefore boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy to find grace to a rope, with a rope in time of need, in time of need. So that means I'm going to give you the rope to pull you out, to pull you up and out of the troubles you got in. You can sit down. All right. How many of you need help? How many of you need help? God's going to give you a rope to pull you up and out, Kathy, of the troubles that you big time got yourself into. All right. And he's not going to beat you because you did that. All right. God's going to give you a rope. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy, find grace with a rope to help pull us out in a time of need. You should write that down. Whew. Okay. Some of you started your own messes. You did it big time. And God says, I don't care. I want to give you a rope, grace, to pull you out. You know, here we go. To pull you out of your troubles. Now, a lot of people will say this. Oh, you made your bed, you can lie in it. How many have ever heard Granny say that? Please don't tell me you said that to your kids. Okay? Listen, people say that about your mess ups. God is just the opposite. God is just the opposite. He says, I have a rope. I'm going to pull you out. Just grab hold of the rope. I'll pull you out of your mess that you made. Amen. A rope. A rope. A rope. Man, okay. Hallelujah. Now, why do people not go? I'm going to close this. Why do some people still not go to the throne of grace? Well, it started in the garden. Adam and Eve, back in the garden, they big time messed up. And what did they do? They hid and ran from God. And what do people do when they sin? Mess up, screw up, royally blow it, whatever else word you want to say. Sin, sin. We don't know, Pastor D, you know, be nice when you... Sin, baby, it's sin. Okay, what do people do? Okay, now let me say. Church is a representation of God, right? So Eli is just big time sinning at home. So guess what he's decided? He's not going to come to church no more, right? Now, I'm not saying why people don't always come to church, but I will tell you a lot of time people just quit coming to church because they're sinning and they feel condemned. And where's the one place where you should be encouraged, where we should pray for one another, where we stand and help one another, where you can hear a message about grace? It should be in church. And yet, what do? Oh, we run away. Oh, man. Oh, I do. Oh, man, I have run away from God. When I messed up, I'm not telling nobody. I'm running. Got the sneakers on. I'm running. I'm out of here. Okay? What are we supposed to do when we mess up? Run to God. Run to the throne where you'll find grace, mercy, grace, and help, a rope. Amen? Praise the Lord. Okay, let's wrap up here. How do we do this? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hey, let's just pray a little bit here. Hallelujah, Father God. Father God, you're so wonderful that you have prepared a place. Well, one, Gee, thanks. You put me in a race. Father, I thank you. You put all of us in a race. We all have gifts and callings in a special race, in the race that you've called us to. I thank you that we have a race that you've placed us in. And I thank you, Father, you've got the throne room, the throne of grace where we can get help so we can run and finish this race. Thank you. Man, thank you. Thank you for mercy in your throne. Thank you for your grace in your throne. Thank you for the rope that you have to pull us out. And Father, let's just say, if there's anybody here and you'd say, man, I have got myself in not a great place, and I've not asked for God's help. I've not gone to the throne of grace. Anybody here today, you're going, man, Pastor D, I've got myself in a pickle, and I've not asked. And right now, I'm going to tell you, you just simply say, right, Father God, I come to you through Jesus, who's the door that gave me access, and I receive your mercy because I've messed up. I receive your grace, and I thank you that I see you pulling me out, that I can complete my race. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's read that scripture one more time, everybody. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Man, that is a good scripture. Did that get big for you? Wow. Okay, it should be on your refrigerator and mirror for the whole week. And then you go tell somebody. You go tell somebody about the throne of grace. They don't ever have to run from God. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Lord Jesus, we worship you. We thank you forever. We thank you forever. We cry holy. We bless your name. We thank you, Jesus, that you have given us access. You have given us access into this wonderful place. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for being my Savior. Amen. Well, I have loved sharing this message with you. Praise God. And I thank you, everybody. You are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath.